This is Will's Band of the Week for November 20th, 2011. Hello and welcome to another edition of Will's Band of the Week. This is Will, and live in studio is Barrett.
Yep.
All right, now
good
we're back.
To be back after a two-week hiatus, I think it was. Maybe it was longer.
I can't remember now.
It's been a little while.
Well, now we're back to high fidelity, right?
Right.
Bringing the top musical and audio vocal quality.
Yes, and almost with a full complement of the three podcasters, but... Two out of three ain't bad, as Meatloaf said.
He did say that once, famously.
Does that make it true?
I think so. If Meatloaf says something, you got to stand up and listen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What other things did he say?
something about Paradise by the Dashboard Light.
Yeah, he said that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Is he still alive? I think he is.
Didn't he lose
100 pounds or something?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. There was the thin Meatloaf, and...
I'm going to make a prediction that he's going to be on Dancing with the Stars within the next few years.
Wouldn't he be a pretty good candidate? I've never seen Dancing with the Stars.
Neither have I. My parents watch it.
Nor have I ever seen American Idol.
I've watched parts of that at a friend's house. Like, it was on... Their kids were watching it, and... Yeah, you don't need to watch that.
Do they have a thing where you can the people watching can vote, though? I think I was listening to somebody commenting on that and thinking that that's one reason why it's so popular, because it's sort of like participatory.
Right.
Voters at home, you know?
Right.
Somebody gets like 4.7 million.
Right.
Like if we did our podcast live and we had people vote on which bands they like better, it would be like, you know, 2.7 million to 1.8 million.
Right.
Stuff
exactly.
Like that, you know? Yeah. Be interesting to see, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
So let's tell people they can contact the podcast, and they can do that by sending a traditional old-fashioned email to willsband@yahoo.com, and they can also go to the website willsband.net, where we post the all the episodes and some album artwork, which is kind of fun. You know, when you just listen digitally, you don't see the artwork, so you should go there and look at the artwork, right? At least, right?
Yeah, multimedia experience if you're doing it that way.
Absolutely. And we've got a Facebook page. We have a Twitter feed. And you know what? There's iTunes where you can subscribe. And you know what? Not only that, there's a new thing now.
The new thing that you emailed me, and I looked at it, and why don't you describe it? I didn't really quite figure out what it was.
We're now available on Stitcher. Stitcher is an app for... phones, iPods, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of specializes in on-demand audio. I don't think it's the only thing it does, but it does on-demand audio. So if you're out on the road and you say to yourself, hey, I forgot to download the latest Will's Band of the Week podcast, how can I get that? Well, if you have the Stitcher app, you just type in Will's Band of the Week and it'll pop up right there.
So you could stream it?
Yeah, it's like a streaming thing.
Nice.
Now, one thing that I'm not sure about is the audio quality, because the one time I tried just to, as a test, to listen to one of our podcasts on it, it sounds like, I think they stream it at a lower bit rate than, you know, if you were to download it or get it from iTunes. So that's maybe one drawback. Like if you have headphones on, I think the audio quality might not be quite as good. But if you have it on a speaker or something, it might be okay. So anyway, Stitcher, it's called, and feel free to try that out and give us your feedback.
Yeah, I'm going to download it right now. It's got it's free, as you said. It's got 60 ratings, and it's rated at 4.5 stars. That's pretty good.
So that's good, yeah.
That's really good.
Yeah, because usually apps even that are good have a lot of bad reviews because people get just pissed about something, right?
Right, exactly.
So
How dare this free thing that somebody put a lot of work into minorly inconvenience me this one time?
Exactly, yeah.
I'm irate.
That's right. Right. That's usually how it goes. So they seem to be off to a good start. So we'll see how that goes. I figure any additional avenues for people to find our podcast are good, right?
Yeah.
So do we have any music news this week? I don't think I have any. Nothing happened this week.
Something must have happened, but I didn't hear about it.
Either that or we just don't feel like telling you about it this week.
Yeah.
Because we're too excited about the music we're going to talk about this week, right?
I'm definitely excited about, we have like a feature and then a band, and I'm excited about the feature and the band. I was kind of, you know, I was okay with, but.
Yeah, the feature. That's the big thing, right?
That's the big one.
But let's preview it, okay? Okay. Let's just tell them. We're going to talk about the Go-Betweens. I'm going to call them a legendary Australian band. Is that an appropriate thing to say?
I think that's appropriate.
Yeah. And, well, we have a band, and I kind of just wanted to mention this band as sort of a lead-in because I was listening to this band, and I thought, you know, there's a little Go-Betweens influence when I listen to this band, which made me think, hey, we should talk about the Go-Betweens. But so as a lead-in, let's just listen to a little bit of this new album from a band called Comet Gain. And I've listened to this band for, well, I think since a couple albums ago, and I thought they were pretty good. It's a British band, and they have this sort of, I don't know, retro sound, and
yeah.
You know, there's a little Go-Betweens influence, and there's another band called Cinema Red and Blue that we talked about last year, I believe, on the podcast, which has the singer from Comet Gain and also somebody from the band Crystal Stilts. And I think those two bands toured together, and they decided to do a project.
Yeah.
And that was Cinema Red and Blue. So
interesting.
Yeah. So let's play a little bit of this Comet Gain album, the new album. Is called Howl of the Lonely Crowd. And I think you'll see what I mean, that they're kind of retro. Let's start with track 3, which is called An Arcade from the Warm Rain That Falls.
Yeah, that was a good one. That was going to be my number one pick on here. I think another song that I really, that grabbed me right away, mostly because of the name drop, the lead singer of Prefab Sprout.
Oh, okay. I don't think I caught that.
Yeah. And so that kind of got me. And this is also, this is produced by Edwin Collins from Orange Juice, that Scottish band.
Yep.
And it's got some of that kind of sound to it, too.
Yeah, kind of trebly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, number 8, which is called After Midnight, After It's All Gone Wrong.
After midnight, after it's all gone wrong. Will you help me after I'm gone?
Sorry, I was getting a couple of songs mixed together. I like this song, but it's not the one where he mentions Patty McAloon. But this one is kind of similar to the other one, but they've got another singer, the female singer. Did you have any of her songs that...
Yeah, and those are good. I think they underutilize her a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember which one that was?
Which one?
The one that references the...
I don't know. It must have been on shuffle when I did it. I know it's not number 7. That one is filthy. Did you listen to that one?
I didn't pay attention to the words.
Yeah, it's like... it's really bad. It'd make, Eminem blush.
Well, that's good. We're warning listeners then. One thing I noticed about this album is that, just generally, don't you think the sort of ballady songs work better than when they try to rock too hard?
Yeah.
When they try to rock too hard, they sound like they're like trying too hard or something.
Right.
Like they're not really meant to rock too hard.
They're only doing it just to mix it up a little bit.
Yeah, that could be.
Maybe.
Well, I know one that I liked, and the one that we just played was one that I liked a lot too. Number 11, Some of Us Don't Want to Be Saved.
He was heartless from 10 to 8. He was ready to initiate. All the beautiful things are the prayers and tambourines, a prison of mornings, city fallen leaves. All I want's the impossible, the invisible, the sweet and mythical. Those that don't miss the kingdoms and they don't miss the kings, they don't want the spotlight or the wedding rings. But I will always look for you. I will always look after you. Hear the sad farewell of the alcoholic clown. Took a while for him to go down. Disintegrated airways with eyes half closed, heart half dead, having no hand to hold. Says if I get another chance, I would like to learn to dance. I would dance across the graves of all the flunkies on the stage. I would dance across the room. I would pirouette with you. I would flood my fires for you, love, only you. If I had the courage, if I had another chance. But some of us don't want to be saved. Some of us don't want to be saved ever again. Ever again. I'm the lucky harpoon in the whale, the last lonely leaf hanging onto the tree, the chip brick that holds up the building that holds.
What do you call that when nobody'd say he's got a great voice or anything, but he's hitting the notes for the most part.
Yeah.
But then at the end of the phrases, it's always flat.
Right, right.
What do you call that? Is there like a...
I don't know. It's that that semi-conversational thing.
Right.
Where, and I think it's kind of a skill to be able to do that, where you're kind of half singing, half talking, but
kind
you're still
like Eddie
hitting
Argos
notes.
Does that a little bit.
Well, he does more of the talking, but yeah.
Right, but like at the end of the phrase, it always just is sort of like a...
It tails off.
Yeah, like...
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's just a style thing. Yeah.
So yeah, I like this. I liked it pretty well. I do like your go-betweens comparison.
You can hear a little influence there, can't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Mostly Robert Forster.
Exactly, right. We'll explain that dichotomy of the go-betweens, right?
Right.
Yeah, let's try to find one with the woman singer in it, just so we can give an example. I think it might be track 10. Yes, I just sampled it. Track 10 is one where they utilize the female singer. Should we play a little bit of that one?
Yeah, let's play that one. What's that one called?
It's called Ballad of Frankie Machine.
Got an interesting voice, and that sometimes it sounds completely average, and then other times you hear a little something in there that sounds like it's a lot better than average.
There's something about it where maybe like Kim Gordon,
something like
comparison
that.
Where it's like not like technically good,
right.
But there's some character there that's kind of
right.
Cool.
Like if she got a vocal coach or something,
maybe she'd be too
maybe
good.
She'd
then,
be
though.
Well.
It's hard to tell.
I think that, like, what was that band that we just, the Dum Dum Girls?
Right.
That singer improved.
Oh, yeah.
From one record to the next.
Right.
Not to the point where it was distracting or annoying or anything.
Yeah, that's true. Good point. But, yeah, that's a good example.
Maybe she could do that.
Boy. Okay, there's some intriguing possibilities.
Yeah. But it's cool that they have two singers like that with just totally different personalities, different, you know, sounds.
Right, and in the other albums that I've heard and this one, it seems like typically they'll have like two or three songs where they feature the female vocalist, and they're all pretty good too.
That's right. When I was just talking about it, I was making it sound like this is their first album. But it's really the first one that I've heard of. But I look, they've been around for almost 20 years, right?
They had a couple of albums in the 80s, and then it was like 10 years between albums. They only have like four or five total, and I don't think I've heard any of the super old ones, but I've heard the ones like the one from like 5 years ago and another one from like 3 years ago. And
yeah.
Then I think a year or two ago they had one that was sort of a greatest hits type thing. So anyway, Comet Gain, look them up, and pretty intriguing band.
Yeah,
and
I'd never even heard of them, and then I realized they had all these albums. So
yeah, they're sort of like, I don't know, the clientele maybe, where they're sort of
one of those guys is the producer too.
Oh, that's not surprising, really.
Yeah,
it's like that 60s British thing or something.
Yeah,
and anyway. It's always kind of a genre that I'm intrigued by and interested in. Mm-hmm. So, and so you can check out Comet Gain, and then if you do that, maybe you'll want to check out the Go Betweens. Right now, this is like something where I think it's kind of cool because we can use our age to our advantage here.
Right,
because
right.
The Go Betweens are. I was reading about them a little bit today, and like I think their biggest hit was like number 100 on the charts or something.
Yeah.
Like they really, I mean, you talk about bands that that people say, well, they should have had a bigger hit, you know, like the Replacements or whatever.
Right.
But the Go-Betweens are a huge like example of that, right?
Right.
If you look back at, you know, you don't even have to look back. I mean, just even at the time these albums were coming out, you were saying, man, what a great album.
Right.
And they never got big, but they always were respected by a lot of people.
Right.
So here's what we decided to do. And I'm going to take credit for this brilliant idea. I thought, you know, this is a band good enough that we ought to just pick some of our favorite songs and rank them. So Baird and I both picked our top five Go-Betweens mm-hmm. songs. So if you're familiar with the band, you'll be able to, you know, play along at home, like with our little countdown here. And if you're not right. familiar with the band, you're just going to hear samples of a bunch of Go-Betweens songs. And you know, if you like this podcast, chances are you might like this band.
I
right?
think a lot of people would.
I would think so.
Anybody, I know a lot of listeners are our age, and mm-hmm. you know, if they don't know the Go-Betweens, but they like a lot of stuff that we all used to like back when we were in college or when we were 20, whatever.
Yeah.
Then they'll probably like this. And so hopefully we pick good enough songs that people will realize, oh, I gotta listen to that. Or some of your younger listeners might also.
Now the general like right, the general time span of the Go-Betweens is essentially the 80s, and then they did kind of a comeback in the 2000s with three albums starting in I think the year 2000. But there yeah. was, so most of their stuff was in the 80s, and then there was this hiatus where they still did a lot of solo projects and stuff.
Right.
And then the two main songwriters, Grant McLennan and Robert Forster, got back together in the 2000s and did some stuff, which was actually pretty decent. Mm-hmm. But should we just launch into it? I think
yeah.
we should. So this is what we did. We came up with our five independently. We had a couple of overlaps, so instead of having 10 total, we've got 8. And so let's start with your number 5.
All right, my number 5 is a song called The Clark Sisters, and this was the last one that I put on the list, and I struggled. I crossed things out and added things, and
someday those notes will be in the Rock and Roll Hall
yeah,
of Fame
right.
or the Podcasting Hall of Fame.
Right. But I picked this one because it's the least similar to the other ones that I picked. And yeah, the Clark Sisters, Clark with an E.
And this is from the album Tallulah, which according to our calculation here, looks to be our favorite album of their collection because we've got 3 from this album. So this is the Clark Sisters.
Thank you. comes with their father's lore. They sleep in the back of a feminist bookstore. The Clark sisters. The eldest sister keeps a midnight vigil. The younger sister, she's not spiritual. The Clark sisters. And their steel gray hair, their lovely steel gray hair, the Clark sisters. Why don't I introduce you? I'm sure they won't mind. Don't you dare laugh at their collection.
The Go-Betweens.
Yep.
The Clark Sisters.
I'm going to keep track on the side here of the number of Robert Forster songs and the number of Grant McLennan songs.
You know, I figured it out beforehand in pre-production.
Did you?
Yeah. But I'll bring it up later, what I figured out. It's kind of cool how this turned out. So that's a Robert Forster song.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that one a lot, too. That probably could have made my list. And as I was making my list, I kept listening to these songs and thinking, oh man, that's a good one. Maybe that should be a little higher. You know, mm-hmm. It's pretty hard to rank these.
Part of
how I decided on it was kind of just, you know, going back historically, you know, what are the ones that have really been my traditional favorites that I've really listened to a lot and really liked.
Right.
So my number five is called Spring Rain. And this is from an album called Liberty Bell and the Black Diamond Express, which was an earlier one. I'm not sure what the year was.
It's like maybe 86 or something.
I think it's earlier than that.
Yeah, it's all a fog.
And the problem is you go on like Amazon, which sometimes you can go on Amazon, it'll give you the original release date, you know. But for the Go-Betweens, they list the date that the CD came out, but of course these all came out on LP long before. So,
right.
You know what we can do? Let's just look this up. I bet it's on Wikipedia.
That's got that is March 1986 it came out, which was the month and the year that my wife and I met.
Wow.
Yeah.
See, now I would have guessed that came out earlier, but I guess it's more of a fog to me than to you. So anyway, let's just play it. This is Spring Rain. Spring Rain.
Yeah, another good one. 2-0. Forster in the lead.
Forster leads 2-0. Now, we should maybe mention that really, that's one of the strengths of the Go-Betweens, right? They had these two songwriters that were distinctly different but similar enough that, you know, they fit together.
Right.
And I think they pretty much split the songs on every album, right? It seems like
pretty much
half and half.
Seems like it.
And the Forster songs were a little more quirky, and the McLennan songs were a little more poppy.
Yeah.
That sound about right?
Yeah.
And so you've heard a couple of Forsters. And now when we get to our number fours, both of us picked for number four songs that the other one of us picked actually higher. So those are our duplicates. So let's jump up to number three. And your number three is?
My number three is a song called To Reach Me,
which is on the same album as Spring Rain, the Liberty Bell and the Black Diamond Express album.
Yep, let's give it a listen.
And I knew this song, but I didn't, when you mentioned the title, it didn't like right jump out, so I had to go listen to it. And of course, it's good. Here it is. Now, you said that this album came out the month that you and your wife met.
Yeah.
Did you listen to this album, like, together? When you were dating?
No. A friend of mine, Doug, who's also my roommate for a couple of years, turned me on to him.
Mm-hmm.
And so I didn't know about the band until, it was right around when I met JJ, but we didn't listen to it together. So I didn't know about the earlier stuff until... You know, until I went back and listened to it.
It's not like you would have heard it on the radio or something.
No.
That's kind of a cool thing about the Go-Betweens. You had to have a friend introduce you to it.
And they weren't even like in the college rock charts.
I don't think they were. I had one of the songs I'm going to play coming up is how I got introduced to them. And it was a friend who went to college, you know, and he came back and said, hey, you got to listen to this.
Yeah.
So it's kind of cool. So, all right. My number three, back in those days when you'd make like party mixtapes and stuff.
Yeah.
And you'd be like, you know, there's got to be a Go-Between song on this list. Right? Cuz you know, they're such a cool band. I got to put them on, you know, the party tape.
Right.
And so what are you going to do with the Go-Betweens? Cuz you don't, you know, you got kind of a rockin' party tape going and you don't want to play like some, I don't know, some of this is kind of acoustic-y, you know, and you don't want to.
Right.
So this is probably as rockin' party type songs they ever got, I think. And it's really always been one of my favorites. And it's also from the Tallulah album, and it's called I Just Get Caught Out.
Yeah, that is about as rocking as they get. So if you're somebody that really likes to rock out, maybe the Go-Betweens aren't your band, but everybody likes to dial it back a little bit.
Right.
Now and again and listen to some good, you know, mellower music. But that was a good choice that you made.
And they'll surprise you and they'll rock out, you know, and they can pull it off.
Yep.
So that's pretty cool. So, okay, this is kind of like, hey, you know what? Just a little diversion here. Go off topic just for a moment.
Uh-huh.
You know what it is now? Like, by the time the listeners hear this, we're basically coming up to Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Which means, guess what? We got to start doing our end of the year list.
Oh my gosh.
Right? I mean,
yeah.
The websites start coming out with them in like early December.
Right.
So we'll do...
You got to do it early so you don't look like you're just picking the best of the best.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right. Like
you got to put your neck out there and pick something that... Other critics maybe
yeah. Otherwise you
say is crap.
You can't just grab it off somebody else's
no.
list. That's not cool.
No.
So we'll have to do we'll have to set up like a date that we're gonna
yeah.
do our recording.
There's no way Chris will miss that one.
No, he won't miss that one. We'll definitely
he'll be
get Chris.
For sure.
And we will we'll count them down. So, you know, we were just counting these down and I thought, hey, speaking of counting down,
yeah, that's
fun coming
one
up.
To do.
Yeah, that's the highlight, isn't it?
That'll be our third one.
I think I've got, in my mind, they're like right now in my head, I'm thinking of two that will definitely be in my top five.
Yeah.
You know, but I haven't really organized any kind of list. But
I'm going to have a harder time this year than I did last year.
Well, that makes it fun, though.
It does make it
fun. You get to go
fun.
Back and go through
yeah.
these things and... yeah, you know, I think probably, you know, it's a foregone conclusion, you know, at least for you, that probably the Lou Reed and Metallica album is going to probably be in your top two or three.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Well, because it's Lou Reed and Metallica, they each get a position, so they're one and two.
Yeah, that could be, because, yeah.
Did you listen to that?
No. Grant and I talked about it a little bit on the podcast we did a couple of weeks ago, and it just seemed like a... Like, just a bad idea.
Really you know? Bad idea.
Yeah.
You know, I know you and Chris were... You like Metallica a little bit, right?
You know, I didn't go out and buy Metallica albums.
Okay.
You know, I had a little bit of an appreciation for them, and I really liked that movie about them.
Yeah, you've talked about that. I think it would...
Yeah, it's a like great rockumentary.
You know, I don't... It's like a... Well done movie that you wouldn't even need to like the band to like it. So
right.
I might like that too.
Right.
But I remember when I was, you know, 18 and 19, they started about 1984, right?
Sounds
and
about right.
Some of my friends that, you know, we'd listen to at the time, like the Specials and Elvis Costello and like some American hardcore and stuff like that. Some of them started to peel off and listen to Metallica, and it just pissed me off.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's heavy metal. You can't.
Yeah,
it's terrible.
That's interesting.
I really, I mean, it was like they were betraying everything that I thought was important in music, and so I've always disliked them. I don't have any. When I hear Metallica, there's no positive associations at all. I just don't like them.
You could sort of see how, though, couldn't you? How somebody could go from the hardcore stuff, and you could go this route down the road to Metallica, or you could go this other route toward the more punkish kind of stuff.
Yeah, and, but there's an obvious way that we were supposed to go. Like, you don't go the other way.
Yeah, I agree with you on that.
You know?
Yeah.
And so, I just...
Yeah.
I don't even, you know, I've heard a lot of it, but I don't know their albums or anything like that.
One time I had to go somewhere for my boss, you know, in about 19, let's see. I'm going to say it was like 1995 or so. And I didn't have my car at work. And my boss said, well, you can just take my car. And he had a teenage son. So there was a Metallica CD in the car. So I was listening to it. And, you know, that was about the extent to which I would like purposely listen to Metallica.
Right.
But, you know, I don't have the same real negative reaction to them that you do. I kind of think of them as kind of humorous, and
yeah.
I don't take them too seriously.
They're not the least bit tuneful. Am I right about that?
Well, it depends how you define tuneful.
Like,
you know?
Their songs have nice tunes.
Not okay, nice. No, probably not nice.
Even played by, like, you know, if they tried to make them into lullabies. You know how they do that? They do that right. With everything.
Right.
If they did that, they would sound... They would make babies crabby. And you can't make them sound nice.
You should watch that documentary. I'm going to give you an assignment. Well, you need to watch that. I think maybe I could go watch that again, too. I think it's called...
I like the story of Anvil, but I don't want to listen to the music.
Well, this one's really different. This is like the band having to go into band therapy and hire a band psychologist, and, and it's just great. I think it's called Some Kind of Monster. So,
do they have podcast psychologists?
You mean like we might need one?
We might need one after this talk.
It could be. Yeah, and we could bring the psychologist on to do a mediation session between us. Yeah. Okay, let's get back to the Go-Betweens, and we're up to number two. You're number two, and this is just, I'm just going to say this is a great one, because this was on my list. This was my number four, but, you know, I think I mentioned to you, I could have put it at number one. I mean, it could have been anywhere on the top end of my list, because it's just great.
That is a great one. This one, I think they, you know, the thing I like best about it, I mean, it's got a great melody, but also the group singing is just really, really good.
Yeah, it is.
And, it's just got a nice production and stuff. So Bye Bye Pride is my number two.
From his head and left him for dead. But I
Yeah, that's a nice one.
That's an oboe,
like
right?
That one. I never thought
are we
about
gonna,
it.
Are we gonna,
sounds like an oboe.
Are we going to display our musical ignorance? I think that lead instrument is an oboe. Anyway, that's kind of cool, too. It makes a unique sound. Yeah, that's a good
not,
one.
Not many oboe solos, and especially like in Metallica songs.
Right, they don't have too many.
Not in their later stuff, at least.
Right. Now, up until that song, Robert Forster had a 4-0 lead.
Yeah.
And that was a Grant McLennan song. And we're gonna start the McLennan Express now. And by the way, Bye Bye Pride is also on the Tallulah album. So if you're liking this, that was our third pick from Tallulah. So I'm going to go now to my number two. Now, this is the first Go Between song I ever heard. A friend of mine, I don't know, I think he had the single. He might have even been one of those 12-inch singles. I'm not sure. But
cool.
Although this doesn't really seem, it's not like a dance song, right? Usually 12-inch singles were dance songs, right? Because they made them longer, and they put like an extra drum beat in them, and they made them like 8 minutes long. So,
yeah.
But I don't know, in the back of my mind, it seems like this was a single. And the song is called Bachelor Kisses. And I'm not even sure if this is on like a regular album. It might have just been a single, but it's a good one. Bachelor Kisses.
Yeah, that's a good one that could have been on my list too.
I told my wife there was the Go Betweens had this great song called Bachelor Kisses, and she said, "Is it sappy?" She just heard the title, and I said, "Yeah, I guess it kind of is a little bit." Yeah.
Yeah,
it's cool though.
Yeah, I like it.
So, all right, that was my number two. Now we're getting down to the I guess we're down to number one, aren't we?
Number one.
You're going to tell us your favorite Go Between song.
Yeah, I mean it was kind of. A lot of them could be number one, any of these five. But I picked one called Was There Anything I Could Do? And at least right now, that's my favorite. I'm going to stick with that choice.
That's from the album 16 Lovers Lane, which I think was the one after Tallulah, right? I think it was
that
around
right.
87, maybe?
Yeah.
That was back in the good old days, back in 1987.
That was a good, you know, era.
Yeah,
for music,
it was great.
It?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yep.
She comes home and she's happy. She comes home and she's blue.
Yep. So another Grant McLennan song, and you know we can talk about this afterwards because I know you have some comments. So I'll just hold off.
Yeah. Okay.
Unless you play your first one.
Why don't we mention that most of these albums you can still get. You can probably even find some of them on vinyl because they originally were on vinyl.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them, but not all of them, are available as MP3 downloads. But I have a CD that if you're interested in like a greatest hits compilation, it's really good. It's called 1978 to 1990. I think it's just called The Go-Betweens 1978 to 1990. And
yeah,
it's got really,
I've got that one too.
It's got a really good just compilation. So I'd definitely recommend that. So, okay, as my number one, I picked, the only reservation I had about picking this song is it's sort of straightforward, right? I mean, it's not really, I don't know, maybe as creative as some of the others, and it's kind of just a straightforward, sunny pop song.
Right.
And so, you know, if I were going to be really super critical, you know, maybe I would say some of these others are more, have more artistic merit. But this is one that just I kept coming back to because you can, you know, you just put it in when you're driving in your car and you play it loud and it's just great.
Yeah.
Right. So, and this is another one from the 16 Lovers Lane album. And you had it on your list too. You had it at number four. So we're in agreement. That it's
largely an agreement all around with the Go-Betweens.
Yep, definitely. So this is called Streets of Your Town.
We'll be right back.
Yeah, that's a great one. That could have been my number one really easily.
Yep, kind of a classic.
Yeah, that nice acoustic guitar solo at the end there.
Right, I was going to comment on that too.
Yeah,
you know, they refrained from doing a searing electric guitar solo and just acoustic solo.
Sounds great. It's kind of like Aztec Camera sounding.
Yep.
Yep, at the end there.
So we came up with a 4-4 tie.
Yeah.
With Forster and McLennan. And
without McLennan at the top.
He got the top four. But, you know, I think we both were thinking that we could have sort of reordered these in kind of random way. So,
and if somebody were to ask me which of the two I like better, I'd say Grant McLennan. I mean, I'm sorry, Robert Forster, rather than the way that it actually turned out to be. So
if you had to pick a winner between the two, you'd pick Forster?
Well, I would have, but the evidence of the countdown does not bear out that at all.
And I think I'd pick McLennan, but it would be really close. Yeah. So again, going back to what we were saying at the beginning, it's a strength of the band that they've got these two great songwriters. And Grant McLennan, unfortunately, died of a heart attack about, 5 years ago, maybe?
Yeah.
And I think he was only like in his early 40s.
Yeah.
Maybe 42 or
his
so.
His dad had died really early too, so the writing was kind of on the wall, but that's pretty shocking.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so apparently Robert Forster is still performing. He's done, you know, both of them have done, they've been really prolific. I mean, if you really want to find more music than just the Go-Betweens catalog, there are several solo albums by both of those guys, right?
Right.
And then also Grant McLennan did a project with Steve Kilby from the Church called, what was that called?
I don't know. I didn't even know about it.
Well, hell, now I gotta remember what it was.
Emerson, Lake, Palmer, Kilby, and McLennan? Was that it? Like a super group?
It was called, I was looking it up on Wikipedia, and then I decided, you know what? I don't need to do that. It was called Jack Frost. You didn't have the Jack Frost album?
No.
Oh, it was pretty cool. It was Grant McLennan and Steve Kilby, you know, both being from Australia and being in fairly prominent bands. And I think they did two of them, if I'm remembering this right. But it was pretty good. So there's a lot of stuff out there. And so I hope we've done justice to the Go-Betweens.
Yeah, it'd be hard to describe how great they are. I think the music will speak for itself, but I don't think there are many bands working today that are as good as they were.
No, I think that's true.
You know, you've got 38 Special, or are they broken up now?
I don't know. They're probably playing the county fairs.
Probably. They're they're up there.
Yeah, and Eddie Money. I just thought of Eddie Money because I thought of county fairs.
Yeah.
No, I agree. I think, and they're a band that I really think back and think it would have been really cool to see them live.
Yeah.
And I never did. And I don't know how much they toured the U.S. And, you know, was I really ever within 50 miles of them playing? I don't know. I kind of doubt it because I probably would have really tried to go see them.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Too late now. Robert Forster could see him coming to Madison.
Sure, yeah. If he decided to do it'd be kind of cool too, because there certainly would be no shame in him playing a bunch of his old Go-Between songs.
No, not at all.
It's not like he has any choice to play it with a full band now, you know.
Right.
So, yeah, let's put out a shout out to Robert Forster and ask him to come to the U.S. sometime when the mood strikes him.
Yeah.
And maybe make a stop in Madison. And I'm sure we wouldn't miss that one, would we?
No, I'd go for sure.
Even if it's on a Tuesday night at 11 o'clock. I mean, I'm on record. I'm going.
Wow.
Okay.
Why don't you say a weeknight at 11?
Yeah.
Just so that you don't leave yourself a little escape hatch.
Good point. I'll do that.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Hey, you know, how many bands are out there? I bet there are actually probably quite a few, right, that we could do like a little retrospective on, right?
That's a fun exercise.
Yeah, we'll come up with some other bands to do this. And so we're getting to that point where it's getting late in the year, and I've got I got a whole bunch of things I've been listening to, but I'm trying to find things that actually stand out, you know. And I think most of the major releases for the year have been put out already. Anyway, we'll have a few more things to talk about, and then of course we'll have our best of the year, and it's a fun time of year.
Yeah, it is.
So that's all we've got for this week. So I think it's time to say goodnight. Is it time to say goodnight?
It is.
Okay, we're gonna do that then.
Can I say it first this time? You always get to say it first.
Why don't you do that?
All right. What, right now?
Yeah, go ahead. Say it.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.